What's up, guys? Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Down here at Youngstown Studio, Joe Danier, Justin Coffin, BJ's in the back. So we are, we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff. We're going to start with some basketball, obviously. March Madness, crazy time of year. Youngstown State has an enormous game tonight. They play Cleveland State, the men's team do, at down here at the Beagley Center. So if you are in and around the Youngstown area, I think Beagley can hold about 6,000. Get out there, try to support the Penguins. If they win tonight, they're in the semifinals of the Horizon League tournament, and they will move on to Indianapolis to take on most likely the number one seed, which is kind of strange because they are the number two seed in this tournament. So they, you know, win tonight, looks ahead for the weekend, and possibly can go dancing this March. So good luck to the Penguins. YSU women will play at Green Bay tonight. So good luck to them. They are the seventh seed in the tournament, and they are taking on the number two, the Phoenix of Green Bay. So good luck to both YSU men and women. We will also talk a little bit of Cleveland Cavaliers news, a little bit of Cleveland Browns news. It's weird. Like, you really take after the Super Bowl, you really take a few weeks off in the NFL, and you're back to free agency. You're back to franchise tags, this and that. And, you know, the combine's already over, and we're on to the draft. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We'll talk a little bit about the Cleveland Guardians, LeBron James, Caitlin Clark. I'm going to throw a few brackets at you, and we'll even talk a little bit of Oscars towards the end of the show. So we will get into all that sort of stuff. So again, appreciate you watching. Make sure to follow us on social media, both Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. So with that said, again, game time tonight is 7 o'clock at the Beagley Center. The men's team is very, very good this year, and they are a fun team to watch. Coach Calhoun has them playing some really, really good basketball. And you got an all Northeast Ohio matchup here in the quarterfinals. The number 7 Cleveland State Vikings come to town. So get out, support the Penguins, and hopefully they can get a W tonight. And like I said, move on to the semifinals in the Horizon League tournament. And there you can see the women will also tip off at 6:30. At a very, very good, I actually went and saw the women's team play Green Bay earlier this year, and Green Bay is a very formidable team. So best of luck to the women's team as well tonight. So, Joe, how's everything going?
I think okay.
Yeah?
Just getting started.
Yeah, you got your bourbon ready to go, almost the weekend. So
it was a stressful day, so the bourbon was necessary.
Yeah.
Sometimes we...
Stress, like what's going on? Anything you want to talk about?
Therapy session. No, I think I'm good. The bourbon is going to quell whatever I had prior to just this moment.
Sazerac rye is very it helps cure most ills. Yeah. So yeah, nothing wrong there. So yeah.
I did find out last, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, our buddy over there from Cut and Toast, he's got the Sazerac reps number. We gotta get that person down here and talk to them. So
that would be an amazing interview.
That would be fun. So like we said, it's better than regular medicine. You might as well sip it and enjoy it too. Yeah. Take your medicine, cure your ills, and move on. So weather, not terrible, not great, but you know, it's spring. Correct me if I'm wrong, do the clocks move this weekend? Do you know?
Seriously?
I think they do. I think Saturday into Sunday. We're going to be losing an hour, but we'll also be gaining that hour, you know, in the daylight, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if this is ending or beginning.
It's so we're going back to daylight savings. And I believe it is, we're looking it up right now. I'm pretty sure it's this weekend. So Sunday the 3rd. I don't know.
Why is it
we got dead time, dead air time here. It's always a good pill. We'll figure it out and let you know. So anyways, oh wait, there you go. Sunday, March 10th. Yeah. So Sunday, March 10th until November 3rd. But by then, legislation will be smart enough to pass it. There's no big elections or anything going on this year. So that will definitely get passed by Congress and the Senate. So no issues there. They have nothing else on their plate.
Or my faith in government to do anything that's actually constructive or smart is at an all-time low.
Well, speaking of that, okay, and I'm going to just say, I think people know I'm apolitical when it comes to a lot of things. Like, I consider myself very much in the middle on most things. I'm not uber liberal. I'm not uber conservative. I'm sort of right in the middle, and I can see on both sides of the aisle. Now, do I like either candidate of the party? Not necessarily, but hopefully they can get something done and move on from there, because I believe Biden is giving a State of the Union tonight too. So
that should be interesting.
That'll be, yeah, because Democrats are like, well, first of all, before we get more into sports here, because we're going to talk about a player that's defying age in LeBron James here in a minute. But Donald Trump is pushing 80. Joe Biden is over 80. So whoever wins this next election will be the oldest person to ever be the president. And I believe, wasn't that Biden before that was already the oldest already living president, you know, elected to office? So what do you think about that? Should there be an age limit?
Well, I think it should be all done by computers. Like, AI needs to take over the presidency, because we are obviously too stupid to put people, like, in the last four elections of your memory, when have you felt good about pulling that lever? Like, yes, that is best.
And I'm going to probably get some heat from this from anybody on the conservative side, but I did like Obama. I really did. Like, if you know, you might not agree necessarily with his politics, like, completely, but he was an energetic guy coming into office. And again, whether you agree with his policy or not, I can understand some of the Trump stuff. I can understand some of the Biden stuff, but Biden's too old, and I really don't like Trump as a person. So it's like, I don't want to vote for anyone, you know, so maybe I'll just go vote for,
well, as a kid though, something. Like if you were searching,
sorry,
politics, if you were learning about how government functions, if you were saying, okay, we got this big thing that operates like the biggest company that you ever thought of,
and has
lots of income, lots of expenses and whatever, go find me the perfect person to be able to CEO that. I can't name a single person. I'd be like, that's the guy that I would have totally come up with on my own.
Yeah.
These guys are politicians. They are not brilliant people. They are not like the best that society has to offer. So that's why I feel terrible. As a kid, you were like, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be the president of the United States as the pinnacle of achievement. And now we're giving it to the doofuses of our society. This is craziness.
George Carlin, who I always refer to on stuff like this, would always say something like, this country was bought and sold hundreds of years ago. The shit we shuffle around every 4 years doesn't make a difference.
That's exactly, you know? Right.
But
voters, I don't think can be even making a good decision with what they're being offered.
No. And it's sad, because there's not much out there. Anyway, this conversation started with when this.
All right, I got two bags. I got two bags,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I got a bag of shit or punch in the throat. Which one?
Or
choose one.
South Park used to say a douche or a turd sandwich. Which are you going with? And sometimes South Park hits it out of the park.
Big time.
So let's go to, by the way, daylight savings time starts Sunday, March 10th. So
early in the morning.
Set your clocks ahead for that. But we will gain an hour of daylight, which is really, really nice. So, anyways, going to someone that does.
I'm your curveball. Like, you can have.
I didn't have to take it, but I took the bait. So
all right,
it's all okay. Right. It's fair. Let's go to someone that does defy age in basketball. From this area, from Akron, Ohio, we're going with LeBron James. He recently broke the 1,000 point threshold. He is the only player in NBA history to score more than 40,000 points, to grab more than 10,000 rebounds. He's over 11,000 rebounds now, and he's almost nearing 11,000 assists. So in that, in his 21-year career, he came straight from high school, from Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary's, to the Cavs, you know, had the tenure there, went to Miami, came back to Cleveland, now with the Los Angeles Lakers. But he is number one all-time in scoring. And I'll show you his points here and how that breaks down. He is one of 30 players to have 11,000 rebounds in his career. And if you think how many seven footers that have come through the NBA, that's pretty impressive. And then he is one of only seven players to have 10,000 or more assists. So this guy can literally do it all. He is fourth all time in assists, 30th all time in rebounds, and first all time in scoring. There's not another player like him ever in the game. And you can do the Jordan LeBron debate. To me, it's case closed. LeBron is the better overall player. Now, Jordan was more of the killer, the, you know, 6-for-6 in NBA championships. I get that. And I love Michael Jordan growing up. And obviously, LeBron brought me the most happiness as a Cleveland fan I've ever had in my life, winning that 2016 championship. So I will always be grateful for that. And the fact that he's from the Northeast Ohio, he claims it. He represents this area proud. He's got House 330. He's got the LeBron James Family Foundation. He does so much more off the court than just about any other superstar out there. So, you know, hats off to this guy because he is just phenomenal. So whether you love NBA basketball, whether you love LeBron or not, you got to respect what he's done in the game and for his community. So just great stuff. So shout out to LeBron there. But let me break down some of these numbers for you. We're just going to go through this real quick. But he is currently sitting at 40,067 points, you know, going into his next game. He has played 20 seasons. Only 10 players have played 20 or more seasons in the NBA. 10 in the history of the league. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robert Parrish, Kevin Willis, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, Vince Carter, Dirk Nowitzki, Jamal Crawford, Udonis Haslam, former teammate of LeBron, and LeBron James is the 10th player. To score 40,000 points in a game, you would have to play at least 67 games a season. So you can only miss via injury, whatever, 15 games a year. So you'd have to play 67 games per year. You would have to average 30 points a game to put that per season, to put that, or I'm sorry, per game, each of those 67 games. To put that in perspective, only three players in the league this year are scoring more than 30 points a game. That's pretty amazing. The closest player to LeBron in scoring is the guy he just passed, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is not coming back to the NBA anytime soon. So he is already 1,680 points past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The closest active player to LeBron James is Kevin Durant, who is 35 years old in his 15th season, and he is 11,640 points behind him in scoring. And he is known for his scoring. He's not known as, an elite rebounder, an elite, you know, assist maker, you know. So it just shows what this guy has done. Pretty impressive stuff.
Well, I don't know if you saw the news, but Joe Biden inspired Kareem to come out of retirement and start playing basketball again. Will Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
yeah,
this next season.
Yes. Okay. Hey, let's see.
80 years
see
old.
I'm get sure it done. If you threw his ass under the he could probably still go grab
Heck
a few
yeah.
rebounds. 7'1".
You know, Shaq still got it. He's a little fatter than he was at one point, but yeah, still, I bet you he could take.
Oh yeah, I know Shaq just. I think Shaq just turned 50. I think he just turned 50. So he's I guarantee Shaq could get out there and grab a few boards, maybe throw down a dunk or two, but his ass is not running up and down that
you
court.
You stand in the paint. Yeah. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. I'm going to just cherry pick on one end, let you guys do this. The other thing with LeBron, though, you have to think about, and I know this will be something you really like here because you're a big health kick guy. Think about just being sick a couple times a year and how much that might take it out of you. Like what I said there earlier, 20 seasons, you got to play 67 games. So that means you got to avoid any major injury. You have to, avoid those nagging injuries like ankle sprains or knee tears or whatever it might be. And for him to play that many games and put that many miles on his body shows just what he does in the offseason, taking care of his body, taking care of his health, eating right, you know, all that stuff. That plays a factor in your longevity, not just as a basketball player, but as a human being to be able to do what he does. And he's a little bit of a freak too, in the sense of he's just, you know, not everyone's built like that, but it's pretty amazing.
These big bodied people and they're running back and forth on the court. I bet you they run a marathon every game.
Not quite. I could tell you about how much.
Tell me.
It's somewhere between 4 and 5 miles.
All right.
But it's different. If you're factoring in warmups, you're factoring in different things. It's probably more like 6 or 7. But I think if you play the equivalent of like 40 minutes in a game, it's equivalent to about a mile every 10 minutes.
Okay.
But if you're thinking
that's impressive still every day of your life.
Exactly. It's very impressive. So not quite a marathon, but you're also you're not just in a jog or like a running straight ahead. You are putting torque and physical strain on those muscles, on those, your ankles. You are cutting, you are running, you're sprinting, you're jumping, you're landing. All that stuff really goes, really got to factor all that stuff in. So pretty amazing stuff. And he is the model of consistency. If you look at this, so from 0 points to 10,000 points, 368 games. From 10,000 to 20,000, 358 games. From 20,000 to 30,000, 381 games. Had a little bit of a lull there. And then 30,000 to 40,000, 368 games. So he really is, like I said, the model of consistency, and what he is doing is just awesome. So just phenomenal, phenomenal stuff.
How many more years till he retires?
That's a great, great question. He will be, is he 39? I think he's 39 right now. So I'm going to say two more years.
Okay.
I know.
Both in California?
I don't know about that. There's something that leads me to think he might want to finish his career in Cleveland. However, he's got like the outside stuff. He's got like the movie production stuff. And where is all that stuff based? Out in LA. So I don't know. I could see him finishing somewhere else than the Lakers, but would it be cool to have like a, bookend your career with the Cavs, and you had like the middle chapter there too. So I think it'd be awesome, but is it likely? I don't know. Right. So again, he is in year 21. So he came in the year of the league as an 18-year-old. He's now 39. And then look at these points per game. So the highest points per game by a player in year 21, LeBron James is averaging 25 points per game this season. The next highest player on that list would be LeBron James in the fourth quarter of the games, 7.7. Vince Carter would, in his 21st year, average 7.4 points a game. Dirk Nowitzki, below that. Robert Parrish, who, if you remember Robert Parrish for the Celtics, he could barely move at the end of his career. He had those huge knee braces on. And then Kevin Willis at 2.4 points a game for the Atlanta Hawks. So that is just amazing stuff. And again, whether you love LeBron, whether you don't love LeBron, you have to appreciate what he has done. It's just amazing stuff. So another basketball note real quick, the Cleveland Cavaliers, had their large, well, last night, a little bit of a letdown, which stunk, but the night before, Tuesday night, the Cavs came back from 22 points down with 8 minutes and 55 seconds left to win 105-104. It was their largest comeback in team history, which was unbelievable. Dean Wade is a guy not many people outside of Cavs fans probably know, but he scored 20 points in the fourth quarter and outscored the Celtics by himself 20-17, and the Cavs outscored the Celtics in that quarter 34-17. Boston at one point had a 99.9% chance of winning that game based on analytics, and that you know, we say one in a thousand or one out of a million or whatever it might be, the Cavs pulled that off, and just great stuff there. So awesome stuff by the Cavs. Real quick check-in on the Eastern Conference standings. Celtics, the team they beat, they ended their 11-game win streak, but Boston is far and away the best team in the NBA this year. Milwaukee sitting at 2, Cleveland at 3. Orlando is at 4 right now. And then you can see it's kind of 5, 6, 7, kind of all jumbled up right there. So the Cavs hopefully can keep a top 4 seed, get that first round home playoff home court advantage there. So one other basketball note I want to get into before we move on. We got to talk about Caitlin Clark. She is now the all-time, not just women's, the all-time men's and women's leading scorer in college basketball. She passes Pistol Pete Maravich at 3,685 points, and she is still counting. Their regular season has ended. She will go into the Big Ten tournament and then into the NCAA tournament. She is averaging 32.3 points a game, 7.3 rebounds, and 8.7 assists on the season, which those numbers are unheard of in the women's game. So just an unbelievable player, an unbelievable scorer. So hats off to Caitlin Clark. If you remember last year, YSU was playing Detroit, and they had a guy on Detroit's team named Davis. He was chasing that same scoring record, and he came up 3 points short right over there at the Beagley Center. So they just missed out on that. So, all right, let's move on here. And Joe, let me just ask you this. I'm not going to ask you for a movie or anything like that, but think back to 1994. So we're talking 30 years ago now. And on Tuesday's show, I did a draft with some friends, and we put that out on Tuesday's show. You can go back and find that on the Youngstown Studio feed. But think back to 94, and what are some of your memories from that year? So 30 years ago.
Man.
It could be anything. Like, I mean, you don't have to give me like on this Tuesday, March 7th, I was doing this. Like anything the whole year or vague memories.
I was a junior in high school, so what the heck, like, it's a blur, man.
Okay,
when I was a junior, it was a blur. So yeah, you go first.
Well, a couple things I remember. One, well, so I was born in 81, so I was 13, so I'm thinking, what is that, seventh grade, probably in that range. So I'm thinking I didn't have the internet. Isn't that weird? Like, what was going on in 1994? Like, if you didn't know, I didn't know what was going on. I remember there being no World Series that year because there was a strike and a holdout. And I don't know. It was just like life was so different then. It's hard to compare it to now. So if we think of like 30 years from now, what will the world be like then? You know, who knows, in 2054, if it takes as many leaps and bounds as it has from 1994 to 2024, then there'll be a huge difference. But I wasn't driving, you know, I wasn't even in high school yet. But you know, I remember there was just like a lot. It was a fun time of life. You didn't have to worry about you know, a lot of different things. You didn't have to worry about social media or doing this and that, but you also didn't have the easy conveniences of certain things either. So,
right. So here's some historical things. Yes, like I had to trigger it. I had to get, so Nancy Kerrigan was attacked.
Oh, in
so
the
that
Olympics.
That was okay. In 94.
Yep.
Four convicted in the World Trade Center bombing.
Ooh, okay.
Clinton was accused of sexual harassment and O.J. Simpson was arrested.
Oh,
really? That was 94.
Oh yeah. The Bronco chase was in June of that year.
Whoa.
Yeah. The Bronco chase, the white, it was like June 14th or something. I forgot about that. Yeah. 1994. Crazy. The crazy thing, like for, you know, being a sports show that I remember is like, just think to whatever sport you guys like the best, whether it's football, the Super Bowl, basketball, the NBA Finals, baseball, the World Series. There was no World Series that year. None. Like, think about that now. Like, you're taking your, and that's when baseball was kind of like, it was up there. It was probably very comparable to football, maybe not as there, but it was close. And the strike really hurt baseball a lot. But think about there not being a Super Bowl. Like that's insane. You know, think about there being no NBA Finals. That's crazy. But that year, 1994, and I remember very, very well that Jacobs Field opened that year, 94. And the Indians, the Cleveland Indians, were very, very good that year. And they were headed towards the playoffs. Here's another thing to show you how far this has been. The Montreal Expos were the best team in the National League. And I believe the Indians and the Orioles and the White Sox were like some of the best teams in the American League that year. So just crazy stuff.
30 years ago.
So yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We didn't even hit what Conan O'Brien's when he'd do that skit
in the year 2000.
The funniest thing about that skit was when they would start doing it in like 2001 or 2002.
Yes.
But some of the movies, the big movies that year, Shawshank Redemption that we took, Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction, The Lion King, Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, True Lies, The Mask. There was a whole bunch of great movies.
So when you were young, like 17, 18, did you feel like you were an adult? Did you feel like...
Well, sort of. I had responsibilities. I had a job when I turned 16. I played sports and I got myself around and did my own thing a lot of times, but not to the level I feel like an adult now.
Looking back.
You're looking like, back. No, like I was a kid.
My wife thought she was an adult at like 15. I thought I didn't really become like an adult until in my 20s. For sure. Yeah. Like when I was 18, I was just an irresponsible whatever. But I didn't know if I was an outlier, whether or not my peers were, you know, got their shit together way before that I did.
So. Well, and sometimes it is determined by your family situation. Like, you know, like I had a sister, or I have a sister, but I had a sister then. And my mom was a single mom too. So a lot of times she was out working and I had to make sure, you know, I was like taking care of the house and working, and I tried to help out here and there and stuff like that. But I was also trying to like, you know, be responsible and like, maybe like when I didn't start feeling like, I was always like a pretty good kid, I would say, until I went to college. And then I was like, oh, I can have fun too and do this, you know. But like in high school, I had fun. I had a great time. 94, I was in seventh grade. So I was probably trying to be cool and also like responsible at the same time, and probably being responsible won out over being cool, you know. So it's I don't regret it though. So
picturing you in like seventh grade, I was straight laced. OCD. Pay attention to the rules.
I actually had to learn though. I wasn't like a great student until I got to college, really. Like later on in high school, I don't want to say I goofed around, but I didn't take it nearly as serious as I probably should have. But you know, you learn that over time. It's like you learn what you should prioritize and this and that.
So tell me your first thing that hits your mind.
Oh boy.
Your first rebellious moment. one where you said the rules, screw you. I am Justin and I'm going to do this.
Okay. So I had a couple bad influences and family members that were about my age. And I remember one time, this is very, I'm not going to say where it was, but we would take hard boiled eggs and go up on the roof and then throw them like as high up in the air as we could, probably like 50 feet. I think the Statue of Limitations is probably
totally
gone.
Yeah, I was, yeah, you're clear.
But we would throw them up like 30, 50 feet. And like we would sit on the roof. This was a two-story house. And we would watch it land on cars. And it would do no damage. That was the beauty of having a hard-boiled egg. Because
how old were you?
Probably like sixth or seventh grade.
Okay.
So 12, 13. Old enough to know better. Young enough to be stupid a little right. bit too. So, you know, I think we saw that on a TV show once or something. And, you know.
I can tell that was a pivotal moment for you. That was the first time you started exploring, pushing on the rules.
Well, I never did anything like too bad. And we would never do it like when, you know, we would do it at certain times of day when we knew there wasn't like a ton of traffic or someone would like slam on their brakes or, you know, get into an accident or anything like
Dude,
that.
Dude, I was a demon when I was.
Were you?
Oh, demon. Like my rebellious spirit started coming out when I was five. Like here's an example of Joe's influence.
Yeah. Right?
I took all the neighborhood kids.
Okay.
And I convinced them to put a rock in the middle of a snowball and throw it at cars.
Yeah.
And I bet you that we could break a window with a snowball. And so we had like five or six cars where the snow would get pretty deep and we'd all start drilling cars going down our road with rock infused snowballs.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay. Here's my pushback to that. I would want to do things to have fun, but in the back of my mind, I was like, we can't cause any damage or do, you know, like to me, I'm like, oh, that could like hurt a car or hurt someone. And I'm like, I would remove myself from that situation.
Here's another one.
Go for it.
Tulip bulbs. One of my neighbors had like a big pot of tulip bulbs.
Like that you plant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I told all the neighborhood kids that it tasted like onions. So I had all the kids eating tulip bulbs.
They're with like the dirt on them?
Like with the dirt on them.
What the hell's wrong with those kids?
They all listened to me. Tulip bulbs are very toxic to human beings. So all the neighborhood parents had to get syrup of Epicac. Serve it to us, and we'd spend the entire evening puking in the bushes to get it out of our system so no one would die. Demon, I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
that sounds like it's out of like a Stephen King novel or something, right?
Tulip bulbs, look it up. Very toxic to human beings.
Okay,
chocolate to dogs, cute tulip bulbs to humans.
By the way, switching back to 1994 movies, Serial Mom, have you ever seen it?
No. What is it?
Oh my God. So you know who Kathleen Turner is, right?
No.
Okay. She's the voice of, I'm trying to think of other movies she's been in, but she was the voice of Jessica Rabbit. She had like that sultry, deeper, raspy voice, but she was a very, very well-known actress. In this movie, she's very buttoned up, very prim and proper housewife in the suburbs, but she, and this is based on a true story, was a secret serial killer, and like anyone that ever would like cross her, she would find a way to take him out. And this movie, it's like I would say one of the darkest, funniest comedies I've ever seen. Highly recommend watching it. Don't watch it around your kids, but this would be a like if you're in the mood for like it's probably an hour and a half. Remember the show Ricky Lake?
Yeah.
Okay, so she was the daughter in this show. They made like those Scooby-Doo movies with like the real humans and stuff. The guy that played Shaggy was the son. There was the dad was from Law and Order, I believe. So there's a lot of like people in this show you would recognize, and it is just a freaking laugh fest, but with like some, it's like got horror mixed in, but mostly comedy overtakes that. And there's a couple moments in the show where you will like be on the floor laughing your ass off. It is just hilarious. So put that on your list of, you know, go watch the classics if you wanted to watch some 94 stuff. Like I said, Shawshank, probably one of the best movies of all time. Forrest Gump, everybody loves Forrest Gump. Pulp Fiction, one of the most pivotal movies in the last 30 years. And then The Lion King, everybody loves that. That's a great kids movie. Dumb and Dumber, just a good comedy movie. But Serial Mom, oh my God. So, so good.
You have never steered me astray. Everything you told me to go watch was money.
I will recommend that one for you again, no doubt.
So speaking of Jessica Rabbit, are there any cartoon characters that you had a crush on as a kid? Anything that
maybe as a little kid? Probably. Like if I said it now, it'd be really weird.
Do it.
No, like I'm trying to. That's a good question. Like so. I remember like The Little Mermaid was big when I was a kid, and that probably came out in like 88. So I was probably like
Ariel
seven
was your girl.
Well, I'm not. Let's not just put words in my mouth.
I'm making suggestions.
No, I'm just saying, like
I'm leading
like, you. Know, no, she was all right. Cartoon character, like there's no one that really stand. Oh, April O'Neil from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe.
Okay,
maybe her.
Low
maybe
crush.
Her. Yeah. Because I love that show. And then I look back and actually my daughter had like a month phase where she was like into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She's like not into it anymore. But I was like, oh, this is awesome. We can watch it. And they'll like, so we watched like the first season. She was super into it. Then you have to like pay to watch the second season. So I bought the second season. She's like, I'm not, you know, I don't want to watch it anymore. I'm like, I just dropped $25 on a 30-year-old
like
cartoon.
It.
We're going to
like
watch it. But I looked at April O'Neil and like whoever drew her was very perverted, very perverted. But
you didn't realize it as a kid though.
Speaking of that though,
yeah.
Do me a favor, Google the Little Mermaid, like VHS tape. And I want to see if you notice something. So while Joe's doing that, I'm going to put up our bracket from 1994. Tell me what you guys think your favorite movie would be. Now, there's a lot of really good ones in there. So the way I ranked them, I did Forrest Gump versus Above the Rim, Ace Ventura, Angels in the Outfield, Pulp Fiction versus Naked Gun 33 and a Third, Dumb and Dumber versus Blue Chips, Shawshank versus The Santa Claus, Speed versus The Mask, The Lion King, versus Little Giants, True Lies versus Serial Mom. That's a tough. Okay. You got that? Is there a way you can put that up on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have Joe $40,000 for The Little Mermaid.
Do you still have it?
My God. That person had a big crush on the Ariel there. But I want you to. So what was. Is it King Triton? Is that Ariel's father?
Yeah.
Okay. So King Triton on the left. Is that Ursula on the right, and then Eric and Ariel and Flounder and all them? See, I know my Little Mermaid. Can you zoom in on that at all? We're gonna have Joe zoom in.
What am I zooming in on?
Zoom in on the castle.
The castle.
As close as you can in the middle of the castle. All right, and I want you guys to tell me. Oops, sorry. Tell me if you see anything. Right above.
Hey, let me zoom in a little bit further.
Oh, you know what they did? They took it out. One of the artists rendered a penis in the castle, and it was there forever.
Really?
That they took it out of that drawing. Yes. And I saw it the other day, and now I can't unsee it. So it's ridiculous.
Is it something like you look up at the clouds and you see an image?
No.
Legit
a
penis.
There is no mistaking it. It is one of the castle towers. It is. There's no mistaking it.
You know, I'd be pissed if I paid 40 grand for the VHS tape and they took the image out of it.
Yeah.
I want my penis VHS tape.
I want the unedited version of it came out in 1990. There it is right there. Go to that one. Yep. All right. Can you zoom in on that? See it, how it's been. Here it comes. Joe's going to put it up on the screen here.
I'm trying.
It's worth the wait. And once you see it, you cannot unsee it. I'm telling you. So bear with us one second. Hunker down. There it is. Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, these people that were the artists that Disney must have had them, like, stored up in some room, and they must have just, like, I think they would draw this stuff in as, like, these little secret, like, what would you call that? Easter eggs or something? Like, that's not the only movie, too. There was, like, Rescue Rangers, I think, was a show. They actually show, like, a naked woman changing in a window. Like, it's, like, in one frame. So, you know, people would have to, like, pause it at a certain point. But you go and look up, there's all this perverted stuff out there that these artists and people did. I think there's something in The Lion King. It's crazy stuff, Joe. Crazy stuff.
Wait, we were talking about crushes on cartoon characters, and you came up with penis. Like, how did we go to that road?
I brought up Ariel, and then you showed the thing, and then I'm like, oh, it triggered a thought.
Okay. So Ariel was your crush, crush.
I think it
was a simple question. You took us down Penis Boulevard.
I don't think I have. I will say probably now that I've already mentioned her, Jessica Rabbit. Maybe I was like, yeah, I could. Yeah.
But that was so on purpose. Like, they did not spare any expense to making a voluptuous character for all of us to drool.
100%. 100%. And, you know, Ariel, I always think about this too. Now as an adult, I'm like, okay, I get the whole mermaid story and like fantasy of like her wanting to be, you know, she's a mermaid, she's a mythical character, whatever, but she comes to land. Like, where did the clothes come from? Like, where you would just be like, you know, you would just have clothes on you. Like, if I was a merman, I was like, all right, now I'm a guy, I'm a regular dude. Would I be, you know, wearing jeans and a polo?
You are applying way too much logic to this. You really are.
I'm just thinking out
Think
loud.
Of the Disney movie if they were like, clothes is optional, guys. Cool. Let's do it.
Those artists would probably be a lot happier.
Well, and
wouldn't be drawing penises in castles.
That's right. So, all right, the origin story of the mermaid. Like, you had a bunch of dudes that were on a ship for months at a time.
Right.
Getting a little, you know, horny out of there on the sea. I'm sure. And they start seeing a seal out in there, and that's a mermaid. And
they would even say, like, they would mistake manatees. You know, freaking big manatees are like 800 pounds. They call them the, what do they call them? The sea cow. Sea cow, yeah. Like, that's what a mermaid looks like.
When the Navy comes into port, they mount some sea cows as well, I'm sure. 100% sure.
We have really gone off the rails here.
Don't let me talk.
That's okay. No,
you
it's
you need
good
a
stuff.
Mute button for
it's
this.
It's okay. It's all good stuff. So, from LeBron James to Caitlin Clark to YSU basketball to Ariel to penises and castles. We're moving on. We're moving on one more time. We went to 1994. We're gonna go to one other bracket I put out there a couple weeks ago. We really only need to look at the final four because there's a clear final four in this. But Joe,
did I screw you up?
Oh, no. Well, you zoomed in before, so we'll show
it. All right, go ahead. You're good.
So, and the final four of individuals Cleveland fans hate the most.
Who
would you say is in? You don't have to name four. It's hard to come up with four, but in my head, there were three that came off like that. So individuals
on a Cleveland team?
Or no. Well, they could be on a Cleveland team in the past, but any person or group of people that Cleveland sports fans hate the most.
All right. Art Modell got to be on the list.
He's number one on my list.
Steelers. Whole organization.
I have them as number four.
Okay.
Steeler fans. So... there's one you always talk about on this show.
Tell me.
You always talk about him. Played for the Broncos.
Oh, son of a bitch. John, you're going to make me sell Elway.
John Elway. I had him as number two. And then you could have gone a lot of different ways. My other one that I put up way up high on that list was Draymond Green. I just can't stand him. But to me, it's clearly Art Modell. Do you hate Art Modell, John Elway, or Steeler fans more as a Browns fan?
John Elway is number one on my list.
Wow. More than Art Modell.
Art Modell is second.
Wow.
Steelers fans are third.
Now I have a lot of friends that are Steel. Not a lot. I have a good amount of friends that are Steeler fans. And being here in Youngstown, we're right smack in between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And so there's a lot of overlap here, and that's fine. And there's a lot of really good people out there that are Steeler fans, and I hold nothing against them. Now, if they're a Steeler fan and a Michigan fan, I don't want to talk to them,
right?
Because you know that's two double red flags. But to me, I cannot get over Art Modell being like, I have to hate Art Modell more than John Elway. So, and ironically, John Elway didn't want to play for the Baltimore Colts before they moved to Indianapolis, and then Art Modell takes the team to Baltimore. So,
interesting.
Double. Reason there, but either way,
well, at least you know him. Art Modell died, so that's his penance. When Elway dies, he might fall down on the list a little bit, but he's still alive and breathing. So.
He's still alive and well, and I mean, he's gonna be breathing really well with those horse mouth
teeth. Yeah,
those big nostrils.
I love it. Elway sucks,
but
the other
people I put on the list, though, this we'll just go through. Like, I'm not gonna go through the whole bracket here. I'm just gonna name the people. But Kyrie Irving has kind of redeemed himself in my eyes based on the last time he was in Cleveland. Made a lot of felt apologetic. But freaking John Football, Johnny Manziel, can't stand that guy. Hugh Jackson, I put on the list up there.
Still collecting a paycheck from the Browns organization.
Mm-hmm. Rasheed Wallace, you could have inserted a lot of different players here. Kelly Olynyk, I can't stand that guy. A lot of people, as much as I don't hate the guy, a lot of Browns fans will never like Deshaun Watson. He could win the Browns a Super Bowl, and he would still be on some of their list. And that's fine. That's whatever. But you could add a lot of different people on here. Michael Jordan, I put on this list, even though he is one of, like, I loved Michael Jordan as a kid, but would always root against him when the Cavs were playing him. Carlos Boozer was one of those guys that, like, became really good with the Cleveland and then ended up leaving. I put Jose Mesa and John Rocker on there as well. John Rocker was just a piece of trash.
Yes, he was.
But he was a good reliever, and the Indians at the time needed one. And then Jose Mesa was so awesome for the Indians, but then blew Game 7 of the World Series, and a lot of Cleveland fans will never forget that. So
now if you were to pick somebody that's connected to a Cleveland franchise somewhere, who would your most hated be? Not everybody, but you specifically.
Meaning?
Cleveland, a Browns, Steeler, Browns, Indians, Cavs.
Like, they had to have played for that.
Or been part of the organization.
And I don't like them.
Yeah.
There, I mean, Modell, no, clearly. But besides him, on that list, I was not a big Hugh Jackson fan. And I'm not one to get on, like, coaches and stuff, you know, like, they get too much credit when they win. They get too much blame when they lose. But he was kind of just wasn't a huge fan. If you asked me in 2010, I'd probably say LeBron, but you know, he has since by far redeemed himself. There's a lot of really interesting names. Albert Bell, I couldn't stand after he left Cleveland to go to the White Sox. And that to me was like, at the time it was like, I think he left in 96 or 97. And it was like the Indians had the best team in baseball, but he left for more money, which who can blame him now? But, that was a killer back then. So Albert Bell was definitely up there. Johnny Manziel was just like, people loved him coming into the league. And then to find out, he didn't watch any tape. He didn't prepare. He was like probably doing cocaine and all this other stuff while he was playing. And it's like, you know, your talent only takes you so far. Right. And not to mention, you know, he wasn't like this elite talent once he got to the NFL, you know? So Manziel would be up there for me too. So how about you? Any?
Well, Albert Bell was on my list because as when I was in school playing baseball, he was like my hero as a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to an Indians game and he was playing the field. And the dude, I have never seen a person walk so slow or not try to field a ball in my life. I lost so much respect for him that he was such a lazy player.
Do you remember the Halloween incident with him and some fans in Cleveland? So apparently like trick-or-treaters came to his house and like, I don't know, something happened and they egged his house and he ran him down with his car or something like that. He didn't run him over, but he did something where he got in trouble for that. But there's some good, interesting stories there. So, all right, let's switch from that. And let's go to one final thing here. The Oscars is this weekend. So I was looking at like some of the main movies this weekend and, that are up for Oscars. And I put 9 of them on the list. There's one called Poor Things, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Past Lives, The Holdovers, what's the other one? Killers of the Flower Moon. That's a Scorsese one. And then Maestro. And then the two big ones were Barbie and then Oppenheimer being the biggest one. So I think Oppenheimer is going to win a lot of these awards. I know you've seen Oppenheimer. Have you seen any of the other ones?
Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Okay. Yeah. So I have only seen clips of Oppenheimer. I still haven't seen it, which I kind of regret right now. I might even try to watch it before the Oscars this Sunday.
Spoiler, they nuke somebody. Just one
spoiler. Sorry. Alert. I can tell you how it ends. but it's like a 3-hour movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I might need to like break that up into two sections. But Oppenheimer and I have seen Barbie as well, and I've seen a little bit of that the Killers of the Flower Moon one. But I have not seen any of the other ones, so I can't speak to a lot of them, but there's a lot of interesting, good movies out there. But sometimes the most popular movies aren't the ones that win all the awards.
Right.
But do you think, so Oppenheimer is nominated for best movie, best picture. So American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest, which I don't know what that is. Oppenheimer, probably.
For sure.
Yeah. So I would have to go. I think Oppenheimer is going to sweep a lot of these awards. So I went through and I went through like the list, and I'm not going through, there's like 25 categories or something like this, but I just want to go through a couple of the main ones and you tell me, you give me your pick. We'll do 4. So we'll do 4 of them. So best picture, we're both going Oppenheimer. Okay. Best director. So here's the directors. Anatomy of the Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's Martin Scorsese. Oppenheimer, Poor Things, or The Zone of Interest.
Scorsese's got the name, so I'm going with that one.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Oppenheimer.
Okay.
I think it's Nolan that directs that. So I'm going to stick with him.
It's hard for me to answer these because I've only seen 2 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They might be really good.
That's how I felt. I was going through these 2. I even went and checked like the Vegas odds on some of them. Did you know you can gamble on some of this stuff? Not necessarily in Ohio, you can't, but you can go to certain casinos or if you're out in Vegas, you can gamble on this stuff, which is crazy.
It's 5-1 if I bring up a conspiracy theory on this show every week.
Yeah.
People are taking the odds.
Yeah. Why not? Well, I've already brought one up with The Little Mermaid, so tell me I'm wrong on that one. All right.
We're titling this show Penis Castle, by the way. I just want to let you know.
That's fine. Just don't put my face in the put a cutaway in that, please.
All right.
Okay. Best actor. There's a lot of bigger names in this one. Bradley Cooper, Maestro. Coleman Domingo, Rustin. Haven't heard that or seen that. Paul Giamatti is really good. The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy, which is Oppenheimer. He's Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. Who are you going with?
Oppenheimer on that one.
Okay. So Cillian Murphy, who, if you've ever seen Peaky Blinders, he's kind of the star of that show too. And for the hell of it, I'm going to go with all 3 of them on Oppenheimer so far.
A sweep.
And then actress. Annette Bening. Probably have heard Annette Bening's name. Naiad. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hewler, Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan, Maestro. And Emma Stone, who's already won one from Poor Things. What do you think?
I'm going with the hottest, Emma Stone.
I actually picked Emma Stone here too, and I have not seen this movie, but apparently they said she's very brave in this movie, which another podcast I listened to said that means she's naked a lot in the movie. So I'm going to go with Emma Stone as well. So, and a couple other things I picked here. I went with Robert Downey Jr. also, supporting actor in Oppenheimer, and then supporting actress, I went with America Ferrera in Barbie. So yeah, Emma Stone's... My favorite Emma Stone thing, by the way, is like, it's weird to think of her being best actress, but then also like being in Superbad. And like, she was in a movie called Easy A, which is I see right there. She's been in some other stuff. She was Cruella de Vil. But, you know, she's been in some really, really good stuff. But when I think of Emma Stone, I think of that Jimmy Fallon skit where she does the lip singing. So good. So check that out if you can. So those are my picks for Oscars. Now, I did lie. I have one more thing to close out on. So I saw this on Barstool Gambling on Twitter yesterday, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So I'm going to put it up on the screen. All right. The dealer is showing a 7. You have a 16. Let's say the dealer has to stay on a 17. What are you doing? Are you hitting or are you staying?
All right. What's my point value at that point in the game? I'm counting cards. So
let's just say it's this.
Oh, freshly, I'm hitting all day long. If I don't know anything about the table,
freshly
I'm hitting all day long.
You're hitting it. Okay. Yeah. All right. My younger self would have said stay. Now, I think when a 7 is showing, you got to assume that's always a face card underneath, and that would be your 10 and you're losing. So might as well go aggressive. But what I will tell everyone out there is whatever you do, if your rule is on 16, you stay, or if your rule is on 16, you hit, you do that every single time because you need to be consistent. Now, I can't count cards. I've never tried. So that's not my thing, but I've been given I've been given some advice of saying most of the time you probably should hit. So I thought that was a very interesting take because I posted that yesterday and, you know, I didn't get there wasn't a ton of comments, but there was maybe like 7 or 8. And half of them were one, half of them were the other. So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, they make an actual card that tells you in every scenario what you should do statistically. Really? And that's a hit for sure.
Now, if you're in the wheel position, which is the last spot on the table, and you are effing up everyone else's cards, they will literally physically injure you, especially if you're that person that's betting like a $5 or $10 chip. And that person at the end is counting on you to do the right thing, and they're betting hundreds of dollars. Always. You can always ask advice too if you're unsure.
Yeah, you can always ask the dealer what the card says to do. Here's your card, so let's find it. So the player's got 16.
Yep.
And the dealer's got, we're 7 up there.
7. So it's a green. It's a hit.
It's a hit. Okay. All day long.
All right. Very good. So wanted to end on that. I just thought I thought that would be good there, but we are nearing the start of baseball season. It's getting closer and closer each day. March 28th for the Cleveland Guardians is their opening game, and then the Eclipse Day, April 8th is their home opener up in Cleveland. So every day get a little bit closer to baseball, which means a little bit closer to summer, which means get outside, get happy, all that stuff. So any final thoughts before we close out?
Go through your VHSs and see if you have Penis Castle.
If anybody has the original copy of The Little Mermaid on VHS, send it to us, and I'm sure we could sell it for a good amount, and we'll split the profits with you.
Yeah, and look through all your Disney treasures and see if you can find some hidden Easter eggs with penises or sex or any other not for kids depictions.
Or at the very least, like I said, back in 1994, 30 years ago, you couldn't Google that stuff. Now you can go Google it and find it, and it's widely, it's easily findable out there, let's just say. So
spend an evening.
Yeah. Or just 5 minutes if you got some downtime. Maybe don't spend the whole night doing it, but yeah. So
Blake Lively or Jessica Rabbit?
Oh, Blake Lively. He's real all day, Joe. Back then I probably would have said Jessica Rabbit, but now it's Blake Lively all day. So all right, have a good weekend. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. This is original Youngstown content. Feel free to share our videos and tell your friends about us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook. Thank you for your support.